leader!
Order, order.
This week in the House was all about the man who wasn't there. Peter Dunn's resignation as a minister outside Cabinet and John Key's National-led minority government prompted two requests for snap debates on Tuesday, with Labour leader David Shearer getting his application in first.
A minister resigned last week, and we don't know why yet, sir. And the stakes for John Key are very high, and we need to get to the truth of the matter.
That, according to Prime Minister John Key, lay in an email exchange between Mr Dunn and Dominion Post reporter Andrea Vance.
There's a simple way of clearing this up. Apparently Mr Peters has got the emails. Maybe you could give them to Mr Shearer.
New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters, who lodged the other application for the debate, recalled that it was Mr Key who had promised to uncover the truth.
Now he's condemned by his own words. Now he can parachute out of the bottom of a snake and still have some room. It looks like John Key never had any intention to find out what really happened.
But David Shearer noted that Mr Key needed Peter Dunn's vote to get National's legislation through the House.
John Key needs Peter Dunn to prop him up.
The Prime Minister, meanwhile, handed over his defence and his script to his deputy, Bill English.
Why doesn't Winston Peters give the Labour Party the emails so that David Shearer then knows what happened?
Mr Shearer in turn relied on his deputy, Grant Robertson, to lead Thursday's debate on the government's move to replace Peter Dunn on the Intelligence and Security Committee with Health Minister Tony Ryle.
The Prime Minister is quite clearly telling New Zealanders he doesn't trust Peter Dunn to be on the Intelligence and Security Committee.
The appointment of another government minister to the committee failed to impress Greens co-leader Russell Norman.
In other jurisdictions, the parliamentary oversight is taken a lot more seriously than it is in New Zealand. They have proper committees and they have real powers.
As well as making spy agencies more accountable to the Intelligence and Security Committee, the Greens co-leader said the role of the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security should be expanded.
The Inspector General should be an officer of Parliament, like the Auditor General, or like the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, who reports to Parliament rather than reporting to the Executive.
The difference between the Intelligence and Security Committee, a statutory committee established by legislation, and Parliament's select committees was highlighted twice during the week. Labour made an unsuccessful bid to put a question to its chairman, the Prime Minister, about the number of submissions received on the GCSB Amendment Bill. And the Privileges Committee made a novel attempt to communicate committee to committee its desire to have the Intelligence and Security Committee include the role of spy agencies in relation to Parliament and MPs in its consideration of the GCSB bill. And the relationship between Parliament and the courts also came up for debate after the Privileges Committee tabled its report on the Supreme Court ruling that advice given by public servants to ministers was not protected from defamation action by parliamentary privilege. The committee disagreed with the court and recommended that Parliament pass legislation defining its privileges and proceedings. Debate on the Privileges Committee report was followed on Wednesday by maiden speeches from two new National List MPs, Paul Foster Bell replacing Jackie Blue and Claudette Hoiti replacing Lockwood Smith. Wednesday night was spent on debating a local bill validating rates struck by the Kaipara District Council that was given a first reading and sent to the Local Government and Environment Committee. It was followed by a members' bill prohibiting display of gang insignia in government buildings. Originally in the name of National's Rotorua MP Todd McClay, his promotion to ministerial ranks left it in the hands of Mark Mitchell on Wednesday night.
Mr Chair, firstly I'd like to acknowledge the author of this bill, the Honourable Todd McClay. Obviously, congratulations to him on becoming our new Minister of Revenue and Associate Minister of Health.
Mark Mitchell kicking off the committee stage debate on that bill, interrupted by the adjournment at 10 on Wednesday night. Next day, the Immigration Amendment Bill, providing for a mass landing by boat people, became the only government bill passed this week. Some of the time lost to debate this week, though, was made up in progress on three bills in extended time on Wednesday morning. Back now to the man who wasn't there, and the latest on the future of Peter Dunn's party, United Future, was brought to the attention of the Speaker by Labour's Trevor Mallard on Wednesday.
In light of the revelations that have become apparent today from the Electoral Commission, where they have indicated that United Future will be treated as a new party for registration and it will not be a matter of re-registration.
The Speaker, David Carter, promised to give it some thought and report back. Parliament's adjourned for a week back on Tuesday, June the 25th. I'm Tom Fruin, and this programme was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.